Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN front office insider, certainly started something with J.J. McCarthy to Cardinals, Kyler Murray to the Vikings. CC has started something with the Kevin Durant theme this year.
Yeah, I mean, I guess since we're talking about Arizona, like I was just talking with Legs on his way out of the studio, and I can't help but think maybe Russell Westbrook was on to something when he called Kevin Durant a cupcake on the way out of the door. Like, I get it. Everybody wanted to assign it as Kevin Durant hate by Westbrook because KD was leaving him for the team that they had down 3-1 in the conference finals. But maybe Russell Westbrook was on to something. Maybe he saw something that we didn't see in terms of a sports character flaw in Kevin Durant that wouldn't allow him to be front and center the leader of a championship-winning team. I'm just going to put that out there. I know it's harsh criticism. It's a little bit of revisionist history. But having the benefit of seeing what KD has been at Brooklyn and now with the Phoenix Suns, a team that could potentially fall out of the playoffs based on what happens down the stretch and in the play-in tournament, I mean, that's the only thing that you would have to point to, right? It's not that Kevin Durant doesn't have the game. We all know that. We know what kind of talent he is. He's a top 15 talent in NBA history. But why hasn't that talent translated to having more success at the highest level of the sports, highest level of the sport outside of Golden State? I don't understand it.
I would take him on my team any day of the week, so I hope they do trade him, and I hope that if they want to trade him to Miami, like, I still take him. You know,
I mean, if you have a championship culture that's already in place, that's well and good.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I can't ignore the Phoenix Suns were in the NBA Finals, what, 3 years ago? 3 years ago they were in the NBA Finals, and they seemingly have a better roster now. And they might not make the playoffs.
So, ooh, better roster. That's where better top end talent. I don't know if they have a better roster. Go ahead, Smalls.
Could it be a situational or environmental cupcake situation?
I'm sorry, what? An environmental cupcake
because
situation?
Because he wasn't that in Golden State.
Well, he didn't have the pressure of establishing the culture. He didn't have to do all of the tough things that leaders, the best player on the team, typically does because they already had that in place. Like, he already had that with Steph Curry and Draymond Green and Klay Thompson. They already did all of the gritty work that it takes in order to win a title. Like, he didn't have to do what LeBron James did when he went back to Cleveland or what LeBron James had to do when he went to L.A. before AD. He didn't have to do all of those things. Mm-hmm. And so now that he's been thrust into that spotlight, the fact that he can't, you know, replicate the success that we saw in Golden State, it makes us look at Kevin Durant a little bit differently. And I think rightfully so.
Sorry, with Dallas's win last night, they jump above Phoenix, obviously, and Sacramento. 43-29 are the Mavs, and they are in the sixth spot. Sacramento and Phoenix would play 7-8. Loser would play the winner of the Lakers and the Warriors, both of whom who won last night. Lakers coming from 19 down in the fourth quarter in a game without LeBron at the Bucks. And they win that game in double overtime, and the Warriors go on the road in Miami and beat them. And, of course, right outside, the Houston Rockets, who have won 9 games in a row, and they have the Thunder, who beat the Pelicans last night.
I don't expect the Phoenix Suns to stay at 8. I think the Lakers are going to overtake them the last couple weeks of the season.
So the Suns, you think, are going to be at 9. So then we're going to see KD and Steph in the
they're going to have to, yeah, exactly. And the Phoenix Suns are going to have to win 2 games in a row to get to the playoffs, which ain't going to happen.
That would be fun.
That would be so fun. That would be spicy.
KD against the Warriors.
Yes.
Loser leaves town match, basically. Whoever's done is out of the postseason, which would be awesome. All right. Mike Tannenbaum yesterday came out with his mock draft, which has the Minnesota Vikings trading with the Arizona Cardinals for Kyler Murray. And then the Cardinals at number 4 staying there and taking J.J. McCarthy. 2 things here. Number 1, it seems like right now all of the odds are pointing towards J.J. McCarthy as a top 5 pick. So we will have a big 4 of quarterbacks. That doesn't mean that they're grouped equally with each other, but we're likely going to see 4 quarterbacks in the top 4, 5, or maybe 6 picks. The other thing that is thrown out there, which is not discussed as much as the McCarthy part, but let's get into it for a minute here, would be the idea of trading Kyler Murray.
Do we think that there is an offer that Arizona would say, sure, yeah, we'll make that move?
To trade Kyler Murray? I mean, I guess the only scenario where I could see that happening, I mean, who would the team be that wants to get up for Kyler?
That's my question.
Like, Minnesota.
But I mean.
So let's listen to Mike Tannenbaum, what he said with us yesterday, ESPN NFL front office insider.
J.J. McCarthy, quarterback, University of Michigan, to the Arizona Cardinals. And I have the Cardinals then trading Kyler Murray and a third-round pick to Minnesota for the 11th pick overall. J.J. McCarthy is 6 years younger than Kyler Murray. He's more durable. Kyler Murray hasn't played a full season, four seasons. And most importantly, guys, he's $27 million per year cheaper. So to me, it's an easy decision. Nothing against Kyler Murray. I think he's still a good quarterback. But if I could have a younger, more durable, and $27 million to improve my team, that's what I'm doing if I'm the Cardinals.
Nah, that ain't going to happen. Because if I'm Minnesota and Arizona doesn't want to trade me the fourth overall pick, then I'm trying to do the dance with the New England Patriots and I make them an offer that they can't refuse. Mm. Because a part of the benefit of being able to use that draft capital and getting a quarterback is that you have that guy at a controllable cost. Kyler Murray ain't going to be cheap. I mean, in terms of the cap hit, you're talking about $40 million plus over the next several seasons. I don't know that you want to go down that road if you're Minnesota, where you already got to deal with trying to extend Justin Jefferson, who undoubtedly will be the richest wide receiver contract in NFL history. So if you're Minnesota, I think this is more about trying to draft your guy that you want to ride with rather than going with a retread, a cast off from somebody else.
Yeah, all of the points that Mike T just made about why Arizona would be interested in making this deal for J.J. McCarthy, the Vikings should be saying the same thing.
Exactly.
Why wouldn't we get a guy who's younger, who is more malleable at this point in his career, who is more cost controlled? Also,
somebody hopefully more durable.
More durable, correct. It's Kyler Murray is a proven commodity to some degree. You know a little bit of what you're going to get from him at the NFL level, but I don't think he's a fully baked product. We haven't necessarily seen exactly what Kyler Murray is or can be in the league. So you're trading out, starting the clock over with a new rookie quarterback to a very expensive question mark in Kyler Murray.
So the question then becomes, what is the offer that New England can't refuse? If you're saying you can't get the fourth pick, if you're Minnesota, if Arizona will not deal with you and you want to guarantee yourselves one of those quarterbacks, what is the offer that New England can't refuse? Because if you're Minnesota, it starts at 11 and 23, but I can refuse that if I'm New England. I'm cool refusing
that. Okay, so I'll throw in some draft picks from 2025, too. What are we going to take?
I need at least one first, additionally.
So three first-round picks? Okay, cool.
At least.
So we give you the San Francisco deal. Okay, fine.
I may need more if you're that easy on that. That was too easy. Nah, so now I need more.
Listen, New England gets three first-round draft picks and two to include this year. You got to take that. There's no way you cannot take that if you're Gerard Mayo and you're Elliott Wolf. There's no way you can't take that.
Could you then
three first-round draft picks?
Play out one other thing. Hypothetically, so then you're saying Minnesota gives 11, 23, and 2025 first to New England for the third pick in the draft.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Would the Chargers then trade down 5 for 11 and 23? Meaning if I'm New England, can I get back up and still get one of the quarterbacks potentially? Could I get 4? And then you just keep an extra first-rounder next year. Are you really willing and dealing? Because when you have two first-rounders, you can make moves here.
Yeah, but I think that's getting too cute at that point.
Like, why?
Because there's so much risk. I mean, you're talking about moving up to 5, but that doesn't guarantee you that you're going to get one of the top 4. So, I mean, I get what you're talking about. Like, I just don't think you would wheel and deal. Like, if you have your heart set on taking a quarterback this year, then you go ahead and do it. But if somebody comes along and offers you 3 first-round draft picks, then you absolutely have to do that deal. You absolutely have to make that happen. And here's the thing. This is a deep quarterback class. So there's nothing precluding the New England Patriots from taking a quarterback at the top of the second round.
Anybody that jumps to mind?
Yeah, I mean, if Michael Penix Jr. slides out of the first round, or here's the even crazier part, you could trade up from that second round pick to the back end of the first round and take a quarterback like Michael Penix Jr., have the fifth-year option available to you, and still have the future first-round draft pick in addition to the first-round draft picks that you picked up in this year's class. Mm-hmm. Like, I just think you have so much optionality if you're New England. A lot of this is going to depend on the separation in the grades that you have for the elite quarterback prospects in this class.
Yeah, getting the capital and having that optionality is great. They still need a quarterback. They still are in desperate need of getting somebody stable at that position. So I'm with you. If I'm them, if it's an offer I can't refuse, okay. But I want to make sure that at the end of this, I have somebody that I feel good about under center.
I guess at 11, though, if you're making that move, so you're saying you need to feel good about somebody at 11. If you feel good about Bo Nix, you would have the 11th pick.
I don't think that's rich for Bo Nix for me. Like, I don't see that much of a separation between Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. I just don't.
I feel like most people have him going 12 to Denver, right?
No, they do. That doesn't mean they're right. Like, I mean, it might happen. Doesn't mean he's the fifth best quarterback in his class. Like, I've said it all along, and I'll continue to say it. Like, I think Michael Penix Jr. is the fourth best quarterback in his class. I realize that it's not going to shake that way. I realize J.J. McCarthy is viewed as the better prospect.
Right.
But, I mean, in terms of the player and what they actually do performance on the field, I love what Michael Penix Jr. is. Now, some team might also feel the same way I do and say, you know what, I can get this guy late first, somewhere in the second round, and I can develop him, especially if he doesn't have to play early. And for the Patriots, whoever they draft at quarterback, they shouldn't be in a hurry to play him anyway because the team is not in a place where I think it's going to lend itself to a young quarterback having a lot of success early on. So I just think that whoever they draft is going to be a stash and develop. So if that's the case, do you really have to invest a top three pick on a quarterback when you have a team potentially willing to offer multiple first round draft picks in order to move up?
So right now, if you're advising three and four, New England and Arizona, you'd advise both of them to trade out because you're going to get offers if we're looking at this as a top four. New England's going to get, they're both going to get offers from Minnesota. They may get offers from Denver. They may get offers from the Giants. It sounds like right now you would say, because there's not enough of a gap between Harrison and Neighbors, if you're Arizona and you can slide down and get one of them, the two receivers, and New England, you're saying is, in essence, not ready yet for a quarterback without all the other pieces, right? Your advice to both of them would be to trade out if the right deal is there.
If you're Arizona, who are you trading out with? If it's trading back with the New York Giants so they can move up and get a quarterback, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Because that means I guarantee to get one of those top two receivers. And they need help at receiver. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if I'm trading outside of the top 10 if I'm Arizona.
Okay.
With the Patriots, I don't think it matters that much because they're not ready to win. So, I mean, if the Patriots are offered multiple first-round draft picks to slide out of three, then I think that's something that they have to strongly consider.
Big day tomorrow. Baseball opening day. Sweet 16 on the men's side gets going. We will talk to one of the head coaches from a Sweet 16 team next. It's on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Sweet 16 getting underway tomorrow. On Friday, we've got Marquette and we've got NC State. And joining us now, the head coach at Marquette. This is a little hard for me as a University of Wisconsin grad, interviewing the Marquette head coach, but man, has he done a hell of a job. It is Shaka Smart joining us here on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, alone Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen. Coach, let's start with this. We like to have fun on our show. We talk food all the time. What's with the milkshakes? The road wins milkshakes. Give us the backstory on the milkshakes with the Marquette team.
Well, winning on the road is hard, particularly in the Big East. So there needs to be, you know, some type of incentive beyond just the win. So it's a way to celebrate. You know, for us, it's a chance to, everybody loves milkshakes. So it's a chance to, you know, come together after a big win, doing something together and have a small celebration.
Coach, this is a unique tournament in that we don't really have a lot of obvious Cinderellas for teams from smaller conferences, but we do have NC State, who has kind of been the adopted Cinderella in this tournament, and that's who you guys have up next this weekend in the Sweet 16. Curious to know what kind of challenges this NC State team poses for your squad.
Well, I think it starts with Burns. He's a piece of work. I mean, he is phenomenal down there. You know, just the way he can pass, the way he can spin off defenders. Obviously, his feel for the game, his touch around the basket. He is a very unique player. So we're going to have to do a good job trying to, you know, give him different looks. I don't think you can guard him the same way every time. And then their guys are playing with incredible confidence. They've won 7 games in a row, including 5 in 5 days in the ACC tournament, and obviously the last 2 in the NCAA tournament.
Coach, you have been in a position before where you've made a deep tournament run, getting to the Final Four. What's different in your coaching approach from the regular season to the tournament? What do you have to change in order to have success in this format?
Well, I think most of the things stay the same because the same things go into winning. But I do think that it feels different, and the nerves and the excitement is different. So the way you support the guys, the way that you help them through just the environment is different. And I think it comes down to, again, leaning on your habits, leaning on your relationships with one another. And I would say when you get to March, being even more of a cheerleader as a coach than we were in the previous months.
That's really interesting, Coach. I'm talking with Shaka Smart, Marquette men's basketball coach. You guys were picked 9th in the Big East. That was a motivator for you going into the season. But what do you mean now as a cheerleader versus just a head coach?
Well, we were actually picked 9th last year, and then we won the Big East. This year, we returned almost everybody, and we were picked 1st.
Oh, my
bad. And we did not win. And so I think the difference for us this year is we had much higher expectations on us, but we went through a lot of adversity. We had one of our really good players tear his ACL. Tyler Kolick missed a lot of time with an oblique injury. But what I meant by being a cheerleader is these guys know what we have to do. It's late in the season. We've played nearly 40 games. Now it comes down to helping them, supporting them to do it, and to get to a place of full acceptance of everything around the game. Because when you are a gladiator out there on the court, there's a lot coming at you.
Coach, there are 3 Big East teams, by my count, that have gotten to the Sweet 16. What does it say about the strength of your league to have that representation from your conference?
Well, you know, unfortunately, we didn't get some of the other teams in our league into the NCAA tournament that we felt were deserving. You know, it was just kind of a strange dynamic with all the bid stealers. But certainly UConn is as good as anyone in the country, if not better. Creighton's playing at a high level, and our guys have done a great job getting us to this spot.
Coach, after your team punched their ticket to the Sweet 16, you were a bit emotional after that victory over Colorado. If you don't mind, take us into that moment. Why did you feel emotional after that victory?
Well, have you ever gone to the Sweet 16? It's emotional. I mean, it's, you know, I'm a human being. Our players are human beings. You know, we've been through a lot of twists and turns over the course of our season and even previous seasons. And so to go do something special with a group of guys that you love and that love each other, that is very emotional. And it'll continue to be emotional because this is a season that we don't want to end.
We're talking with Shaka Smart, head coach of Marquette. They have NC State on Friday. They're the 2 seed. Tyler Kolick, your point guard, you mentioned him. People have compared him to Steve Nash. That's not fair to anyone, honestly, in college. But how good is he, and how impressed were you with the rest of the team that you were able to win without him in the Big East tournament a little bit?
Well, make no mistake about it, we're way better with him. Our guys did a good job for 6 games trying to fill in and step forward when he was out. But him coming back in the first round of the NCAA tournament gave us a real shot in the arm. He's the best passer I've ever coached. He's as competitively mature as anyone I've ever been around in college basketball. And he just is a winner. He wants to win. He finds ways to make his teammates better. And we're really, really grateful that he's on our team.
Coach, in this era of NIL, I'm curious to know how that impacts your recruiting and the challenges that you have not being at a program like Texas anymore, or being at a program that doesn't necessarily have the coffers, doesn't necessarily have the same level of financial backing. What are the challenges in being able to recruit and retain your players in this era of NIL?
Well, if somebody wants to come to college and their number one reason that they're going to choose a school is NIL, then they should not come here. Our guys actually get really, really good NIL support, but we've never once used it in recruiting as an incentive. Technically, you're not supposed to do that. Obviously, everybody does. But we want people to come here because they want to win, because they want to be a part of something special, because they value relationships, growth, and victory, which is the same three things that we value. Obviously, there's some pragmatics behind. I know what it's like being a college kid with the same $2 in my pocket for a month straight. So these guys absolutely deserve to benefit from NIL, and our guys do. We have very, very good NIL support for our current players, and I do think that they value that and they appreciate that. But that's not why they choose to be here. They choose to be here because of the experience they have as part of our program.
Coach, one other thing just to follow up on that. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't believe you have any transfers on the team or limited amounts of transfers on the team. Is that correct?
We have one transfer. We took Tyler Kolick. When my very first day getting the job, I called Tyler Kolick. He was transferring from George Mason because his coach had been let go. Otherwise, he never would have left. Other than that, everyone on our team started their career at Marquette. I believe we're one of only two programs at the high major level, along with Michigan State, that's not taken a Division I transfer in the last 2 years. Nothing against transfers, but I love getting to know guys and their families during their junior year of high school, building a relationship with them, and really coming together around a partnership to help them grow as a person first and then as a player. And then you know who you're dealing with. You know who's on your team as opposed to out there coaching strangers.
And is that realistic to keep up in the modern day world of college basketball? Of like, hey, we're going to have these kids. We're going to develop these kids. They're going to be great by the end and go to the pros, as you've had players do that. Is that realistic to keep up?
Man, that is the fascinating question. It's going to be interesting to see because obviously it's not the norm. And there are a lot of very, very good players in the transfer portal. So it would kind of be like an NBA team saying, hey, we're not going to take any free agents. I don't think anyone would be silly enough to take away from that. But at the same time, I don't really like prioritizing someone coming in from the outside over guys that have worn our jersey and have won and have shed their blood, sweat, and tears in our practice gym. Something doesn't sit right about that with me. That doesn't mean we would never take a transfer, but we're absolutely going to prioritize the guys that are already in our program.
Well, Coach, best of luck tomorrow against NC State. Been a great run so far. Keep it up, and we'll look forward to talking to you again as you win here. Thank you.
Well, hopefully I'll be on with you next week.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Sweet 16 gets going tomorrow. Creighton, Tennessee, in Detroit, Midwest region. And joining us now, Creighton's head coach, Greg McDermott, here on Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. Coach, thanks so much for a couple of minutes. Let's start with your last game, the double overtime victory over Oregon. How sweaty were you at the end of that game?
There was never a doubt. What are you talking about?
That was
a hell of a game. It was a great basketball game. Oregon obviously played well through the Pac-12 tournament, and then in their first round win against South Carolina. And I have some veteran guys, and fortunately, we made some plays down the stretch.
Coach, how do you come down from a victory after that? Any win in the tournament is obviously amazing, but with the stress levels that happen in a game like that, what's the post game like? Did you get any sleep after that?
Absolutely not. And the problem with, these start times have gotten, crazy how late they are.
Oh, yeah.
So we didn't get back to the hotel till 1:30, 1:40 in the morning. And then you're excited and the adrenaline's still flowing, so you laid awake most of the night. But we traveled back Sunday. We took Monday off, so we got rested and then started our prep for Tennessee.
Coach, you have 25 made three-pointers from your squad through the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. Obviously, the three ball was a big part of your season. You were top 10 in the country in terms of three-point makes. I'm curious to know, from your perspective, why is your team so proficient at being able to knock down those shots, and why, in the biggest moments, they don't seem to shy away from them?
Yeah, I was a little worried to start that Oregon game because I think we started 1-for-11. That's what we've built this team on is skill, the ability to handle it, pass it, and shoot it. And then obviously we have Kalkbrenner to put pressure on the rim, both in transition and in the quarter court. But really everybody else we put out there, and including Ryan Kalkbrenner, because he had a big one at a critical time in that game as well, can shoot the three. So that's how we provide spacing. That's how we, try to get defense in rotations. But I have a lot of confidence in our guys because I know how hard they work and the amount of reps they get in on those shots. So I trust them and I know they trust each other.
Coach, what was the turning point for your program? I'm just thinking about Creighton basketball, and obviously it has a good history. You get there, you have this guy Doug who's there, I don't know, whatever with him, some Doug McDermott guy. But like, Creighton is on our radar every single year now. The man sitting to my left, Chris Canty, picked you guys to go to the Final Four. Like, what was it when you realized people are starting to notice us? We're here every single year.
Yeah, first of all, I hope you're right, Chris. But we'll see. First of all, Dana Altman did an unbelievable job. When he came here 30 years ago. And putting the program in the map and getting to NCAA tournaments when we were a member of the Missouri Valley Conference. And when I got here the first 3 years we were in the Valley, I always told people we're a Sweet 16 away from people understanding that we really have something special here in Omaha. It's a very, sports crazy town, and they support us in an incredible way. And I think when we kind of got on the map was Doug's senior year when we moved to the Big East. He was National Player of the Year. I think that's when Creighton started to become a name that people, they're in the Big East, they're in Omaha, and I think people started to recognize our name a little bit more. And then we've just, we've had some success. We've had a lot of different teams that have made the NCAA tournament. Obviously, in the last 4 years, these teams have taken another step and gotten to some Sweet 16s and an Elite Eight. But we're playing in what I think is one of the best leagues in the country, and I know everybody thinks their league's the best, but I think the Big East is really, really good. And it's been great for us as an institution to be part of that league, and I think we've added some value as well.
Well, Coach, you did punch your ticket to this week 16, Tennessee up next, and I'm sure as you're going through your preparation for this game, Dalton Kinnick's name is circled. As you've scouted him, how do you stop him?
I don't know that you stop him. I just think you do whatever you can to make sure he doesn't get easy ones. because he doesn't miss the easy ones hardly ever. So he's going to make some tough shots, and that's kind of been our message to the guys that, you know, we'll have defending him is we can't get frustrated because he's a great player. He's going to be a first round draft pick for a reason. Let's make sure he's taking tough ones or taking challenge shots. But Coach Barnes has done an unbelievable job of moving him around and putting him in situations where he has multiple options in terms of the direction he can cut, and then creating space for him to operate. So, I've known Coach Barnes a long time back to, I was at Iowa State when he was at Texas. We coached against each other. I have tremendous respect for him, and obviously he's done a great job with this team.
Coach, and speaking of Dalton Connect, he is a transfer for Rick Barnes at the Tennessee program. I'm curious to get your perspective on how NIL and the transfer portal in this era of player empowerment makes your job tougher or easier when in terms of getting your team ready to compete and win this time of year.
Yeah, I think, it's totally changed our job because it's added another layer to it, which is, especially at a place like Creighton, because – the collective stuff and the fundraising for NIL, there's a lot of it falls on me. But that's okay. I understand that. But I'm all about the players getting paid. I think there's a better model. I wish I knew what it was. But it's difficult for teams in the tournament. We know we're going to lose Baylor Shireman and Francisco Farabello, their seniors. Trey Alexander is probably heavily leaning to stay in the NBA draft. We don't know what Ryan Kalkbrenner is going to do. So the transfer portal is going to be important to us. Yet, we're playing games. We can't be out running around the country seeing guys in the transfer portal or bringing guys to campus. So it, I don't like the timing of it. When the portal opens, I'd also like the focus in college basketball to be on the teams that are playing in the tournament rather than, 100 hits a day in college basketball world about another guy transferring. So I wish we could adjust the timing of it a little bit. I think it would make for a more enjoyable tournament.
Coach, you said you're all about the players getting paid and that there should be a better model. Earlier this week, Gonzaga head coach Mark Few said that he is in favor of all-out revenue sharing with the players when it comes to the revenue-producing sports. I just want to know from your perspective, would you be in support of actual revenue sharing when it came to players in college basketball?
See, obviously Coach Few has a lot of time when he's sitting on that boat catching fish to try to think about this new plan for this. And, I haven't thought about that, but, the problem is there's a lot of sports that aren't generating revenue. But those student athletes are having terrific experiences that are shaping them for the rest of their lives. So, what do we do with that? I don't know the answer to that. And obviously if you're sharing revenue, you're sharing in expenses. So that, that's a slippery slope. And like I said, someone smarter than me is going to have to figure that out. We don't talk about NIL a lot in our program. Our guys are appreciative of the opportunity they have here to get a first-class education at Creighton and play in front of 17,000 people each night. And they understand how well our community supports them, both on the floor and in the NIL.
Coach, before we say goodbye and best of luck, obviously, to your team, what else do we need to know about Creighton? What is the world going to know with a chance to go to Elite Eights in back-to-back years, which is just remarkable to think about?
Yeah, I mean, I think we play a brand of basketball that's enjoyable to watch. I've been blessed to surround myself with a group of very unselfish young people that play the game the right way. And, is Tennessee going to let us look, appeasing to the eye because of the way they defend? Maybe not, because they're really good. But, these guys play basketball for each other, and they celebrate each other's success. They rallied each other when someone makes a mistake. It's been, from a coaching perspective, there's been a lot of joy this season because of the young group I get to coach.
Well, Coach, best of luck. We appreciate the time, and thanks so much.
Anytime.
All right. There is Greg McDermott, the head coach of Creighton, and they have done a phenomenal job. If you think about what his teams have done, Elite Eight last year, round of 32 the year before, Sweet 16 before that. He has been to the Sweet 16 in three of the last 4 years.
Unbelievable.
Kentucky basketball would dream of this level of success right now. Think about that for a second.
He's a great coach.
Great coach, no doubt. Big East. His son, Doug McDermott, was a great player for him, obviously now in the NBA with the Indiana Pacers. And they are going to play up against, they're going to play against Tennessee coming up on Friday night, which guarantees us to have one coach that's been on our show in our short time on the air here in the Elite Eight. Right? Because we had Coach Barnes on.
Yes.
We had Coach McDermott.
Mm-hmm.
So we're an Elite Eight show.
I like it.
That's what it comes down to.
That's it.
We're an Elite Eight show.
We also had Coach Underwood on, so we'll definitely be an Elite Eight show.
Well, yeah, because we also had the Iowa State coach on, actually, now that I think about it. Yeah, good point, Smalls.
Yeah.
Good point. You want a championship company to take care of your lawn? True Green is that company. If you're ready to elevate your lawn game without breaking the bank, True Green is where you go. They have been trusted, the trusted choice for over 2 million homeowners. I'm one of them. For over 50 years, visit TrueGreen.com today and discover the easiest and affordable way to achieve a pro-level lawn guaranteed. So all you got to do is mow and water the lawn. They're going to take care of all the rest. Any other lawn needs and care that you would need, they're going to make it look beautiful. It's summertime right around the corner. You're going to want to have people over to the house. You're going to want your house to look good. Your lawn to look good, True Green can take care of that. Enjoy True Green's verified price matching, ensuring you get the best lawn for the best price. Visit TrueGreen.com, that's TrueGreen.com, and transform your lawn effortlessly. That's TrueGreen.com. Your dream lawn is just around the corner.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, time to win some money.
Canty's best bet.
I'm talking dollar bill, y'all. Chasing that bag, y'all.
Of the night.
An aggressive text message from Bubba.
We did?
We just got a very aggressive text message from Bubba.
Oh, what is
that? Yeah, I'm going to respond to this right now while you're talking.
Wow, yeah, I just saw
I'm going to get to the player tonight, but then we have to address the text message we got from Bubba, who is a part of the hashtag crew. All right, so tonight, we're going to the association. A lot of big talk about Kevin Durant on this show. I think his team is in danger of not getting into the playoffs, which would be an all-time collapse in terms of how their season has gone. So tonight, we're going to make this a little bit of a can't-lose game. We're actually going to put good money on the Phoenix Suns. So we got a two-leg parlay.
I like it.
And actually, a two-leg teaser, because we're going to go with the Phoenix Suns plus 9.5 points. No, Phoenix Suns plus 10.5 points. Excuse me. Phoenix Suns plus 10.5 points. And we're going to parlay that with Yusef Nurkic over 9.5 rebounds. So we got the Suns plus 10.5 points. Nurkic plus over 9.5 rebounds. So Suns plus 10.5 points. Nurkic over 9.5 rebounds, that plays out at plus 146. A lot of pluses in there.
You need Otani's translator on that?
I probably do, because I can't get it out for whatever reason.
Well, you can get the text message out.
But here's the thing. If it doesn't happen, then all of a sudden we can come in here and write the, what do you call it, epitaph? Or the tomb?
I think epitaph.
Epitaph? Yeah, the words on the tombstone for Kevin Durant as a championship contender in the NBA.
What would it say?
Here lies a player immensely talented that can't get it done on his own.
That is brutal.
Where's the lie? Where's the lie? I'm just saying, where's the lie?
All right, let's get to Bubba's text message here. All right? You know what? Let's make this as part of Unsportsmanlike Moments of the Day. So let's do that here.
He survived a terrible, terrible moment in our history.
The most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
That was terrible.
Was not a great look.
Actually, Smalls, before we get to the most unsportsmanlike moment of the day, you asked me what we put on Kevin Durant's tombstone as a championship contender. Here's what we'll put. No NBA player has done less with more than Kevin Durant. When you think about the people that he's played with, no NBA player would have done less with more.
Wow.
Think about the MVPs that Kevin Durant has played with. MVP, I mean, Russell Westbrook and James Harden at two stops. The best ball handler in Kyrie Irving. Dame Lillard says the most skilled player ever. And then you got Devin Booker and Brad Beal.
It's a lot of talent.
It's a lot, not to mention Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. Come on, dog. Anyway.
All right, Bubba, hashtag crew, Greeny, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern after we're done. So today we did our ESPN personality draft as we do each and every Wednesday, and we picked the three ESPN personalities that we'd want to go to opening day with. And CeCe, inexplicably, to be honest with you, picked Hembo. And Bubba, part of the hashtag crew, texted the three of us and said, pretty disrespectful.
Well, you have to do it in a Bubba voice. Pretty disrespectful that I wasn't picked for opening day, considering I'm going to my 17th opening day this week at Citi Field. Who willingly wants to hang out with Hembo? Sad.
Yeah.
Well, here's the problem. He answered his own question within the question that he asked. I mean, think about it. He is a devout Mets fan. So going to opening day with Bubba would mean that I have to go to a Mets game. And do you really want to sign up to go to a Mets game?
Yes.
Who are they playing?
You don't have to?
I would go to opening day with the Mets every year.
If you go to the Citi Fields, you're going to see the other team. You're not going to see the Mets.
I went to see the Cardinals play us.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because you really want to see the Yankees right now.
Well, I mean, I'm a Yankees fan, so that's
I went to opening day every single year growing up. My grandfather
and it's the Yankees. Wait a minute, hold on. I'm not going to let you slide that in. And we'll get to that part. You'll be able to tell your story, but it's the Yankees.
Yeah,
it is the most prominent franchise in all of baseball. So it is an event, whether the team is good or not, to go to Yankee Stadium on opening day or their first home opener. It is an event. Absolutely.
It is an event.
It's an event for any team, to be fair. But my grandfather.
It's different for the Yankees.
Who's this in my ear?
What? Can you hear me? Hello?
Oh, it's Bubba.
I'm never going to be able to
What is going on here? You guys willing? I'll go to any opening day. Yeah, I go to the Mets opening day because that's my team. But Hembo's a Phillies fan, so you're going to you're bringing him to the Yankee game. So why does it make a difference?
The Phillies are actually good.
So you're going to go to the Phillies game with him is what you're saying, but you just don't want to go to
Citi Field,
which is arguably better than Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, I would agree with that, but I'm just saying the Phillies are actually a good baseball team. I'm guaranteed to see good baseball when I go to Citizens Bank.
Yeah.
I'm not guaranteed to see good baseball from the home team if I go to Citi Field or Yankee Stadium. Just not.
Again, that's fine, but you're going to be spending time with a person who's not even human. We're going to have a great time. You're going to be spending time with me. Great person, great guy. We're going to have fun.
Okay, so Bubba.
What is he going to have? A couple Diet Cokes and some Cracker Jacks? That's not
Cracker
fun.
Jack. Bubba, outside of great person, great guy, as you described yourself, make your case. Pitch yourself to us. Why should we have drafted you?
The case is Hembo crosses his fingers like a lunatic. That's all you need to know. I can't even do what he did. I'm a normal human. We're going to go to the game. We're going to talk about normal things. We're going to have fun. What do you think you're going to talk about with Hembo? He can't talk about anything other than baseball. You're like, oh, Hembo, did you see that show? Did you watch that show on Netflix last night? Like, sorry, that was a great double play right there. Hembo, what do you think is going to happen next week with, whatever? Oh, I don't know. Did you see that fly out to right field? He can't talk about anything other than baseball. You want to talk about anything with me? You want to talk politics? I'll do it. You want to talk about TV?
Politics?
No.
I'll talk about anything. I'll talk about entertainment. You want to talk about that? You want to talk about – we can talk about anything. You want to talk about favorite color? I'm there. Hembo can – all he can talk about is baseball and nothing else. That's all he can do.
Bubba, I think we have to narrow down your complaint here. Your complaint really is towards two people because I get a pass on this because you openly hate me.
I mean, I don't know about that.
Bubba, you've said it a million times.
I haven't said anything.
That's not a firm denial.
But Bubba, I get a pass on this. Really, it's CeCe who actually picked Hembo, inexplicably,
which
I agree with you, and I love Hembo, but that's inexplicable. But really, your issue is with Smalls, who you've known for over a decade.
Right.
And you've had real-life encounters. You probably have shared meals together.
We have. Confirmed.
Really, your issue should be directed at one...
former workout partner.
That's right. We did work on Melt.
One Michelle Smallman. Bubba, so go ahead. Go ahead.
Who did she pick?
Okay, I was just going to say, Bubba, if you think that you deserve a slot over any of my picks, we'll make the trade right now. I went with Tim Kirkchin, Joe Buck, and Christopher Mad Dog Russo.
Well, let's do it this way.
That's
we'll
not
do
a
it.
Bad list.
It's
we'll
a do great
it.
List.
Smalls, we'll do it Bubba style here, as you hear at the end of Greeny's show. All right, who you got? Okay, brought to you by Granger. Who you got,
don't
Bubba?
Insult Granger with that, all right?
No, who you got? Going to a game, we're going to have everybody but Bubba answer. Going to a game with Tim Kirkchin or going to a game with Bubba? Who you got?
I already picked Kirkchin over Bubba.
I love Kirkchin.
All right, who you got? Going to a game with Joe Buck or going to a game with Bubba?
It's Buck.
An icon in the sports world, particularly baseball.
All right, who you got? Last one, the KOD brought to you by Granger. Who you got? Going to a game with Doggy or going to a game with Bubba?
Again, it's I've already dog. Made my picks.
Yeah, all right.
Bubba, great. This did not go well for
what
you.
What about going to the game with Hembo or Bubba? That's the biggest question there. You want to go with a person who's a cyborg and is not a human.
Well, here's
that
here's,
what you want to do?
Here's the thing, Bubba. If I was ever going to
He was pick, your number one pick.
He was, but here's
insane.
The reason why. If I was ever going to pick Hembo for any of our ESPN personality drafts, it would have to be this one. I know you have so much range, as you just described, of the different things that you could talk about at a baseball game. You got so much range. You got so much range. I could pick you for so many other things.
I'm ready.
I know that I can only pick Hembo for this one thing. And when you consider Hembo is the guy that feeds me for my stats when I'm on this show, when I'm on Get Up, when I'm on First Take, I have to find a way to be able to rope him in to make him feel seen, to actually use, to have him included in our ESPN personality draft. And this was the opportunity to do it.
I think we realize the bigger problem is that we're using Hembo, Bubba in personalities drafts, and I think that's the bigger issue. Is that this is who we're drafting.
I don't want to hang out with either of these guys.
Wow. Yeah, well, I know Nuno loves them to death, so.
Bubba, hater.
Nuno is wearing a muscle shirt today, so be careful, Bubba.
The guns are out.
His guns
are
out.
I'll deal with you later, Evan.
Wow.
Bubba. The Bubba show coming up next. We're on to Thursday. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.